Okay, no questions. Good. So you guys are all doing great. I hope you're busy, busy, busy working. I did three-way calls on Saturday and Friday. I met with new business builders, signed up new people yesterday, Sunday after church. So yes, this is still a great time to be doing your business every day. In fact, one of the things I want to highlight to you guys that we're doing is we're doing webinars on, are you really going to just walk through another year, make 2015 special, and come hear how you can do that. And it's kind of like opening people's eyes to the fact that don't just step into another year doing the same thing over and over again. It's time to get off the hamster wheel and do something special to create a new tomorrow for you. And so this is a great week to do those kind of webinars and sessions with people, one-on-ones, because everybody's thinking about New Year's resolutions moving forward. If they're not thinking about New Year's resolutions, some people have just lost hope, and you have tremendous amount of hope left for people that don't have any. You can help them rebuild it through Manatech, a great vehicle. All right, so the call today is going to be about the new me in 2015, and what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about 7x7x7. The 7x7x7 came up for me because I was looking back at some of the things I've done at year end in the past and some of my favorite books, which is one of them, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And I looked at, it was funny how everybody picks out 7. Like, I remember this year I reviewed the new book, The 7 Mindsets to Live Your Ultimate Life by Scott Schickler and Jeff Waller. And then 7 Decisions by Andy Andrews. And then there was 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I kind of was smiling to myself about this magic word, number 7. Of course, we know that 7 has tremendous amount of, you know, emphasis in scripture, but isn't it intriguing that so many people who have written books have picked up on it? So I kind of called this, talked about this being 7x7x7, because what was intriguing to me is how the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People kind of meshed with the 7 mindsets to live your ultimate life, with kind of meshed with the 7 decisions we need to make to have that incredible, fulfilled life. All of these things have a great interplay with each other, as we should well expect them to have. But sometimes we get bombarded with so many new ideas and concepts, we get kind of into overwhelm and say, well, Mary Jo, I can't handle all this because it's way too much for me to tackle. And so let's take a peek at these three authors and look at what they had to say and kind of how they mesh, their concepts mesh, as well as what does it mean for you in 2015. And that's what I would ask you to do, is get your highlighter out and kind of, you know, highlight and take notes on the pages to say, what does this mean for you for 2015? Because for our lives to change and us to create differences, we need to, first of all, you know, do the planning, right? So we've done a lot of that in terms of structure. We've done the value, the vision. We've done now our goal setting from last week. And if you haven't gotten that done yet, do it now. Quit procrastinating. Do it now. And then when you get the goals in place, then it's about putting the plans in place to move that forward. Well, one of your big plans has got to be, what's going to be different for me? And that's what Lydia and I work on. That's why we do what I did last year and what I'm willing to do this year. We're doing a lot more of that in terms of our structure. We're putting in a lot of new technology into our business building and prospecting. Plus, we're tapping into the daily action tracker list, and just there are a lot of neat things that we're putting in place. And this is our week to make all of that happen, put all the structure in place so we can kick off 2015 on the right foot. So let's take a look at what are some things that you can take from these guys, the 777s, right? Are there some things in each of these that you can grab onto and say, hey, this is great for me? And so let's jump in and first talk about 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And just as a recap for all of you, I've got 45 minutes to go over 3 books. So it's not, these aren't really book reviews. There's more of a summary and how the concepts interact and align themselves with each other. So you can see how these thought processes, these terrific, you know, thinkers in our world who have done so much to outline for us how we can have the best possible life, how they interact and they work together. They're synergistic with each other, if not highly alike. So let's take a peek at that. So we jump in with Stephen Covey. His first principle, habit of highly effective people, is begin with the end in mind. And, of course, we recognize this because we know that we set goals. And the reason we set goals is because we're beginning with the end in mind. Because he says everything in the world is created twice. It's first created in our own belief system, in our own brain, and then we recreate it in reality. So if you think you're just going to ramble through life, 2015, and something's going to happen great in your life, think twice. It needs to be created first in your own head. You've got to believe it. You have to grab onto it. You've got to visualize it. Otherwise, you're not going to get it. And that's one of the great reasons why, you know, we build dream boards, because it's a visualization of what we're dreaming to create. So we're putting it out there as a visual, right? We want a visual picture of it. We want to be able to capture that visualization. And I've had the fun of working with people for years on dream boards and seeing them actually get 100% of their dream boards. Marlis Wickstrom, one of the first people in my organization that hit presidential director, she was great at this. She did this dream board, and like a year later, she stood on stage as presidential director, and she held her dream board up, and she said, all of these things I've accomplished. And it was so incredible to see the joy in her heart, to see how effective a dream board is. So we need to take responsibility for that and do that kind of work to make sure that in front of us we have this visual of what we want. And part of that is, too, in terms of beginning the end in mind, is to putting plans. You know, I mean, we are looking at putting my visual out there. I begin with the end. I need to first have it in my head and my heart. I need to visualize it. That's why we build dream boards or put it on our wallpaper on our computer or whatever. You can actually put your dream board as wallpaper on your computer, which is a great idea as well. So you see it every day. It's really present for you. But the other thing is what plans, what steps are you putting in place to get there, right? When we're building plans, and we talked about this earlier in part of our planning sessions, I think that we want to incorporate the three-point plan and how we plan in 2015. So, you know, our first, if you're brand new in this organization, you know, I work with people today and it's about earning their power bonus, earn their team bonus, reach regional director. That's 1, 2, 3. Earn your power bonus, earn your team bonus, reach regional director. Those are your first three steps. That's why I'm driving. So we go out there and we sign up as many people as possible because we're going through the four, you know, contact, invite, present, and follow up and close. But we need direction on what are we working towards. And for existing associates, we want to build two legs with a regional in each leg by a certain date. So look at your downline and say, do I have two legs with at least a regional? For some of you are way beyond that, but you want to look at each person individually where they are as you are leading your people in your organization. If so, then you want to have two legs with a national director in each leg, right? And thus you're going to be a what we call a healthy national. So our concept here is to build healthy legs. So it's always about looking at what do we describe healthy legs as, and that's part of the three-point plan. So focus on your goals being building healthy legs. You don't have to worry about GPV if you build healthy legs, because your healthy legs will create the GPV you need to reach new leadership levels, right? So there you go, some ideas about how to build those plans and look for how to set those goals. Number two in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is be proactive. Life doesn't just happen, right? I mean, these people that sit back and don't take action is really troublesome to me. It's like you've given up. You're waving the white flag. You're surrendering. You're saying, okay, so life's just going to, you know, I'm a fatalist. Fate's going to just take me wherever it's going to take me. Well, I don't believe any of that garbage. Your reality is what you create it to be. You have so much control over each day, each month, each week, each year, that you can't even fathom how much control you actually have. But the idea is, in order to have control over it, we got to be proactive with it. We've got to get active. We can't be reactionary. People sometimes sit back and they wait for things to happen. You wait for your downline to produce. You wait for prospects to walk into your life. It's not happening. Those are the people that never get the presidential. They never create the greatness. They never fulfill the dreams in their lives. They never live the vision they have for themselves. They just give all that away because they decide to sit back and just be reactionary. So we need to be proactive. So what are some ideas on being more proactive? Well, utilizing the daily action tracker is a great way because it's a disciplinary process. It's about disciplining you to take the actions that we know create results. There is nothing new about our networking model. Nothing. It works the same way it worked 50 years ago as it worked 30 years ago, as it worked 20 years ago, 10 years ago, today as it will tomorrow. That four core activities of contact, invite, present, and close, follow up and close, they've been around for since network marketing started. So, but what's the issue then? Us actually doing them. Are you building your contact list every day? Are you connecting with people every single day? Are you showing the plan 15 times a month? Are you doing the activities required to create the results that you want? That's a question. But all of those require us to be proactive, right? So utilize that daily action tracker to discipline yourself to more action. Find accountability partners. Attend boot camps, because there are going to be some of those coming out this year. Be willing to be uncomfortable. Because, you know, this is a business. I love it. I think I've told you guys before, if you look at my business card, the business card reflects exactly that statement about what we're willing to do or not willing to do. My business card on the bottom line says, entrepreneurship is living a few years of your life like most people won't, so that you can spend the rest of your life like most people can't. That's what it is. That's what we're about. Are you willing to make that commitment? Be proactive. That's what it takes. Number three, put first things first. Prioritize your activities. Understand high leverage activities. You know, we got the basic four core, contact list, contact invite, present, follow up, and close. We know that, right? And we put first things first. We have priorities. So when you start prioritizing your life works out very differently. What does a non-prioritized life look like? Oh, I get up in the morning whenever I feel like it. I hit the snooze alarm as many times as I want. I roll out of bed. Sometimes I don't get, you know, I don't even change into clothes. I just sit and I lounge around. I'll go grab the paper. I'll read the paper. Maybe I'll turn on the tube, watch a little bit of tube. Then I might go mosey on upstairs and look at a little Facebook action. And all of a sudden it's noon. Oh, my gosh, I never ate breakfast. I better go grab a bite for lunch. Are you following me? Anyone relate to that? Does it happen? Yeah. Happens to a lot of us. Happens to a lot of people in home-based businesses because you don't have a boss telling you you have to get your, you know, you have to get to work. You have obligations. So maybe for you it's building the obligations. And the obligations get back to what? The high leverage activities. So put first things first. You can always have time to relax if you get your work done first. So put first things first, do them first, and watch how that changes. That's one of those small little things, you know, they talk about just taking those little steps, small little steps create incredible results. We have Greg Olson's book out there. We have a lot of those books. You may not see it today or tomorrow or a month from now, but you know what, a year from now, bingo. If you work out every day for 45 minutes in the morning from 6 to 6:45, I guarantee you, you'll be healthier at the end of the year. I guarantee it. I don't have to know anything else about you. I guarantee it. Right? So put first things first. What are your priorities? Put them first. Get them done. And then move on and do the things that you might find more enjoyment in. Because, again, live a few years of your life like most people won't, so you can enjoy the rest of your life and live it like most people can't. Number four, under Stephen Covey is think win-win. Always be positive, right? We take the positive. We take the positive approach in even the most negative of situations. We want to avoid negative influences in our life, and we create negative in our own life when we don't take a win-win posture. Whenever there's a conflict, oh my gosh, how many of you are familiar with drama queens? Any of those in your life? I have them. I have them in my family, and it just like it's like, Lydia is so funny. She looks at me these days and she'll just go, DQ. And that doesn't stand for Dairy Queen. It stands for Drama Queen, right? Okay. And she knows I immediately exit. You know, I'll get out of any conversation if there's drama going on. I just, you know, and if it's the right kind of person, I can go, no more drama. I'll just say, no more drama. It tends to be people that don't want to come from solution. Do you ever notice that? Drama queens love to flourish in drama because it just gives them attention. I'm a solution person. When something happens, I go, okay, where's the solution? Okay, great, let's put it. Okay, next, next, solution and next. be a solution person, always use the word next to stay out of drama. So think win-win. Conflict arises, always get into win-win, right? And here's another thing that you can do to help you get to the win-win solution, because sometimes you just go, but Mary Jo, I want to be right. I want to carry this burden. I want to, well, have compassion. This comes out of one of the other issues that we'll talk about, is about being compassionate, you know, making the decision to be compassionate. Think win-win. And here's another thing for those of you who have a walk with the Lord. What would Jesus do? Every single situation you get into, when you get hysterical or you get angry or get emotional about something happening that's outside your control or even in your control that didn't go the right way, just go, what would Jesus do? Ask that question. It's a great reminder. And if you don't know what Jesus would do, then I'm going to suggest maybe you get more into reading Scripture every day. Put that on your daily do list. You know, that's a self, you know, reward type process we go through. We need to do things for ourself that grow ourself. Reading Scripture is one of those great things. And you'll spend more time in Scripture, you'll understand the answer to what would Jesus do. So, great. Think win-win. Keep that way. And MLM, our model, is perfect for win-win, because you only win if you help those underneath you win. And that's the neat thing, one of the things I love about our model. And in fact, this is an idea for some of you who have a hard time edifying network marketing, if that's one of your challenges. I mean, here's another great thought for you to just focus on. Multi-level marketing is just the perfect model for a win-win, because I can't win unless you and my downline, who are in my downline, win as well. And for some of us, we look at all of Manatech. I can't win unless all of you win. Because when Manatech goes through a slump, my business slumps with it. Even as hard as I work, when there's bad things that happen because they're triggered from people out there, so everybody's part of that win-win. I love it when people become new presidential levels and they open new countries and people have presidentials over there already. And I love that because what it does is it helps Manatech thrive. Choose to be positive. Choose to be win-win. How does this make us? It makes us all win. When Manatech is healthy, we all win, because it becomes more of an attractor factor to everybody else. 5, seek first to understand, then to be understood. What does this mean for me? Be a great listener. If you're not now, this is the number one. Circle this. Fit that highlighter out. This is what you work on for you. The new me in 2015, I'm a great listener. It's one of my number one skills I look for in a partner in my business. If I find somebody who's a great listener, I can help them do all the rest. If I find people aren't great listeners, and there are plenty out there, in fact, I'm going to tell you, 90% plus in this world are bad listeners. 90% plus. That's how rare it is to find a good listener. In fact, the other day I was talking with somebody and they said, you know what, Mary Jo, this person over here, they are just an incredible listener. And I go, wow, interesting that you picked that factor out in their life. Isn't that great? So who do we know who are great listeners? Take after them. What are they doing differently? How can I develop that skill? Well, you can read books. You can take coaching from professionals. You just got to do it. And it's out there everywhere. In fact, I did. Carol McCall is one of my favorites. She's got some great materials out there. You can look her up. But it's really critical. Because most people that get involved, you can find some people who are really dynamic, they're great promoters, they just go out and they have millions of people around them. But when you find out what it's all about, a lot of times they don't have much depth in their relationship. So they're the ones that get involved in network marketing, and they might do a great job of catapulting quickly to presidential, 12 months, 18 months. But the problem becomes that it all dissipates the next 6 months, because they don't really, they're not relational people, because they're not great listeners. The people they brought in don't feel like they really are 100% all in to support them to be the best they can be. So they're not building relationships. They're not going the extra mile for people. They're not sending, you know, people Christmas notes either by email or texting. They're not consistently in that build relationship mode. They're all about what? Happy, excited, energy, galore, and that's what their attractor factor is, but no depth. So listening skills, crucial. You want to build that. Be a great first. Seek first to understand. So that means we listen to other people to understand. And that's why when people go, oh, well, is this network marketing? And you go, absolutely, blah, 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 and you jump all over them. No. You go, wow, sounds like you have a problem with that business model. Can you explain to me what your experiences have been, or where you derive that kind of attitude? And find out. Be a great listener. And then you can come back, right? Great, great, great. Synergy is number 6. Synergy means two heads are better than one. Synergies is a habit of creating creative cooperation. It is all about teamwork. In this business, we build teams. If you saw the leadership convention, you saw all these people had different teams. My team is called the Team Champions. That's what we call ourselves, Team Champions. We have a website for Team Champions. We have Team Champion calls. We have Team Champion webinars. It's just great. Team Champions. Build a team. Doesn't matter how small you are. Build a team. Get people part of a team. It gives camaraderie. It gives... And make sure you run it as a team. Don't run it as a dictatorship. Get feedback from people. Get everybody participating. Let people vote on things. Let people have ideas. Let people participate. It's about, you know, the differences that we have as human beings are what really drives synergy. Because it's just about two heads are better than one. It's about we all have ideas, and if we can put all these together, we can get the best possible result. And power of unity is so critical. This is what synergy is about. It's about being able to work together and being able to surrender. You know, we talk about the power of surrender being one of the powers too. Our submission, power of submission and unity. That's some of these are exactly in alignment with this concept of synergy. Because if you have synergy, you have two ideas are better than one. They'll make a better single idea. But people have to be submissive, right? They have to surrender to somebody else's or a mixture of the ideas as a result. They can't be so bought into their own way that it's their way or hit the highway. That doesn't work. So it's a power of unity among us is so crucial, and it requires synergy for us to have unity. And edification is a big power here, too. We want to make sure we're edifying people so that synergy exists only when we can adopt the same things and we can then edify people. We edify Manatech. We edify the industry, network marketing. We edify our crossline. We edify our upline. We edify our downline. All of it creates that synergy. That it's just we can create greatness together more so than we can individually. And then the 7th principle, sharpen the saw, and this is always about investing in ourselves. And each and every one of us need to make that investment every day of our lives. I don't know what books you're reading today, but the TOMS, if you look back and say, that's what you want to do, participate in the Champion Series, the CDs. I listen every morning now. Of course, I went through, I'll tell you my story. For the last couple of months, I've been listening to my Christmas music because I sang in the choir for a Christmas presentation. But since that was over, I started popping in all the CDs from the Champion Series. And they just fire me up. I just, every morning I'm on that machine. This morning I was listening to, I've listened to it like 3 or 4 times now. I love it. Was Al being interviewed by Bo about the 3 powers, you know? And Saturday I listened to the Kristen Pierce on edification. People, these are powerful, powerful CDs that help you. And I don't care if you listen to them once, listen to them 3 times, 5 times. You want to listen to them until they become a part of who you are, if that makes some sense. Because then we really know that we've absorbed every ounce of them. And all of these are critically important for us to be the best we can be in Manatech, the best we can be in this industry, the best we can be for our people, the best leaders we can be for our organization. All of these can be fed by participating in the Champion Series, reading the books of the month every month, and Manatech's in the process of putting that together. I'm hoping and praying. I know they've had a number of, but they're coming out with a suggested book list. And Olivia, you haven't seen it yet, have you? No, we haven't seen it yet either, but we're looking forward to that. And maybe during Hawaii, that event, we're going to do a final review of that so that we can get that started. But critically important, and you can always find great books to read or review based on, you know, the books that I've done in my overviews, on my Monday calls, and you've got that on the manatrain.net website, so you can go and review some of those. But always be involved in reading books. I love it. I always have 1 or 2 books going at the same time. It's not a good habit. I try to stay away from one, but sometimes when I travel, I forget one and I bring another one, so I start a new one. But it's just absolutely a blessing to grow my understanding and my learning and my my love of my industry, my love of leading, my love of teaching, training, helping build leaders and develop leaders who develop leaders. All of that is important. And so reading is incredibly critical. And dedicate, you know, you want to sharpen the saw. Is that what are our most important skills? Make a list of the most important skills in our industry. And our skills, we talked about one being listening skills. That's one of the most important skills, right? The skills of the four core activities. Those are all skills to develop. Building a contact list is not just something you just say and you know and you inherently know what that means. There's a lot that goes into that. And if you don't understand that, then you need to be on the Saturday training this weekend to make sure you understand, because it can I could train just on building a contact list probably for a half an hour without stopping, without taking a breath. Contact and invite, another half hour without taking a breath. There are also a lot of good trainings on these core principles found on Navigate. For those of you still using Navigate, they did a lot of trainings from different people all over the world that they posted on the Navigate site that you can listen to and learn from. So another great way to learn and grow and sharpen the saw every day. Attend every event at a professional network marketing conference in 2015. I'm just suggesting how you build up your positive mental attitude towards your industry. How do you grow to walk with just this confidence like I do today? I mean, I came out of that first professional networking industry meeting about two, not this last year, but the year before. And I remember I said, you know, I've been a professional all my life. I went to law school, practiced law, was, you know, top executives, owned and ran my own company. So I've always been a professional. And when I got in network marketing, somehow I didn't call myself a professional. And it wasn't until that event that I looked and I said, I'm a professional network marketer. And I am. And loving it, falling in love with that is what we need to do. If you want to be the best you can be, you need to be in love with what you do. So building edification of our industry helps too when you go to these events. So they're just great ways of growing yourself and continuing to sharpen the saw. We never, you know, you know my concept. You're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. There is no concept of stability. It doesn't really exist because everything's either growing or it's shrinking. So you want to keep growing. You have to keep investing time and energy into that. Another great one is, of course, the team calls. You're on this one. You're on my Monday call, and thank you for being great participants in that. And I love serving you in any way I can on this call. But there are other team calls out there too. I know Wendy Kramer has one, and a number of presidentials up in the Northwest have them. So I mean, you can get on other ones as well. But don't become a call junkie. Just know that these are great areas where you can learn and grow. But always sharpen the saw. Always be on the green and growing side. Okay, so that kind of covered Stephen Covey's 7 habits. We see these tremendous habits that can help change our life. Where are you short on them? What can you do to do differently? Absorb them. Make them a part of your life. And how do they mix? Let's take the next one. I'm going to go into the 7 mindsets to live your ultimate life. This is Scott Schickler and Jeff Waller's book. And I did a review of this one, so that's in manatrain.net as well. So this is just a quick summary, but then again, how it relates to some of the other things that we're talking about today as well, the seven habits, as well as how it relates to 7 decisions by Andy Andrews. So let's look at this one, 7 mindsets to live your ultimate life. The first mindset is everything is possible. And this is about what? It's clearly about that big word called belief. Without belief, we achieve nothing we set out to do. So we just end up living our life by chance and circumstance instead of choice and commitment. And that is a horrible predicament to be in. It is not a win-win. It is not something that's going to honor you. You're not going to be you know, best you can be if you're just wallowing by chance and circumstance. You want to be totally all in. You want to be committed. You want to make serious choices about what your life's going to be like, what you're going to create. And the first step in that visualization is the first step to creating it, right? Visualization. Everything is possible, so you visualize. And that gets back to begin with the end in mind, just as Stephen Covey said. Everything is possible. So we have this incredible concept of choose what we're going to create. It's created twice. It's first in our head. We choose it. Everything's possible, so create that in your mind. And be very careful of people who try to steal your dreams. They're everywhere. They're spouses, they're family members, they're next door neighbors, they're your friends at church. Oh my gosh. We have so much negativity. So, you know, it's sometimes hard for me. I love to go around and love everybody at church, but oh my gosh, the drama that goes on there, it sometimes overwhelms me. I keep going, where are you guys headed? Ah, it doesn't have to be a lot of people. A few people can stir up a hornet's nest, right? But you've got to be careful, those people, because they will rob you. They will be negative. They will be into drama. They'll be into some other direction instead of supporting you and your dream. I'm the opposite. I love dealing with these kids, the youth groups, when they have these big ideas. Oh, my gosh, I'm just all in. Their parents are going, well, I'm not sure. And I go, I'm positive. I'm not only sure, I'm positive. I'm positive this is the right thing they should be thinking about, right? It's their dreams. They want to be out there. And if you want some help in this area about everything is possible, the magic of believing, I put out a piece to my people last week all about magic of believing. Claude Bristol wrote a great book, Magic of Believing, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. That's an all-time classic, even though it's over 100 years old, right? It's an almost 100 years old. It's an all-time classic, but it is about what? What distinguishes successful people from unsuccessful people? The number one core issue there is the people that are successful are people that inherently believe they're going to be successful. There's no doubt in their mind. And I can look at that and look at my family, depending on how you define success, because we define it differently. But it's fulfillment of living a fulfilled life. And I look at my family, and my brother and sister are still with me. They don't have any of that. None of it. They live lives of kind of almost desperation. They're fulfilled in different ways, but they have so many regrets and so much, you know, and they look at Mary Jo as like some big thinker. And I go, I came from the same family. I came from the same womb. I grew up in the same environment. What caused me to be different? It's because I believed everything was possible. Anything and everything is possible. So it's just about creating it, choosing it, creating it. And, you know, of course, putting the energy behind it, it's just not just making a choice, it's what are you directed to do once you make that choice. So, but we need to start with that belief. Everything is possible. Number two, mindset, passion first. Your why is huge. And we watch the why in network marketing all the time. Why is what you're passionate about. If you don't get a passion in network marketing, you're not going to make this work, because majority of people don't want to go out there and talk to somebody they've never met before. The majority of us don't like to just break ice with somebody in a post office or in a grocery store, at the library or at church that we've never met. The majority of people aren't built that way. So if they don't have a passion, if they don't have a reason why, if they haven't found what that is. So finding your passion and organizing your life around it is the path for fulfillment and happiness. Manatech can be your vehicle to achieve that. What's really awesome about being part of Manatech is that we can utilize Manatech as a vehicle and be passionate about Manatech to achieve the real passion in our lives. Isn't that something? I mean, I love the idea of that the vehicle I've chosen, I'm all in on. I'm very passionate about ending global malnutrition in children. Extremely passionate. I'm extremely passionate about helping families have better health and take better approaches to their health by using real food technology. I'm really all in on that. I'm all in on glyconutrient technology, a breakthrough science that totally can change people's lives. I'm all in on that. So I'm all in on, you know, this is awesome. And some of you go, well, Mary Jo, that's what I'm all in on. My passion is Manatech. And I go, really? I said, so why are you stuck at regional director? Clearly that's not your passion. Because when you live your passion, when you put passion first in your life, you create incredible results. So something else is out there for you to find. Something else is out there for you to grab onto. My true passion today, and it was different. My why back when I first started Manatech is very different than it is today. Why? Because we're green and growing. We keep evolving as human beings, right? Very rarely do we find somebody who had a passion at 5 years old and it's the exact same passion they have today. Rarely. that they didn't shift in directions and what was most meaningful for them to accomplish in their lives. They might have the passion we have for our Lord or our faith. Yeah, that can stay the same, that we're passionate about it. But even your faith evolves over time. We become transformed people over time. It doesn't happen overnight. It's over time. As we understand more and we grow more in faith and we have more experiences and the Lord's taken us down different paths and given us more experiences in our life with Him and decisions He's made for our lives that we sometimes don't even see, it's awesome to watch all that happen and feel a part of that. But that even changes. But for me, my why was, you know, I quit my six-figure job to do Manatech. So I either had to get it done or I needed to buy a tent so that we could sell the house because I made the mortgage payments. I paid for the cars. I made the health. I made all those payments. I was the major breadwinner of our family, still am, and I needed to replace that income or I was going to be, as they call it, dead meat, right? No, not dead. Just choose a different lifestyle. Could I live a different lifestyle? Of course. I mean, if I can live in the jungle of Belize doing archaeological digs, I can surely live a life of minimal. But I already created a lifestyle for my husband that was far from minimal, so I didn't want my decisions that I made to cause him to have hardship. Unnecessarily. So I had a big why. But my why today, of course, a lot of you know that too. It's the mission field. I'm just so all in. I've been going to Brazil for six, seven years, and this year I'm going to also go to Kenya. And it's pretty awesome because when I first started going to Brazil, what really turned me on was I just loved, you know, sharing the gospel, leading people to Christ. It was my biggest, hottest. I mean, that was just, I wanted to be there. I could have stayed there for 6 months, not 2 weeks. But the beauty of it is that organization that I joined and sat on the board, been on the board now since the first time I went to Brazil, we grew. We used to be an organization that, you know, we only had, like, at the time I started, it's a church planting organization. We had only planted about 10 or 12 churches at the time I started. Today we have 44 church plants on our support list. 44. So we've grown over 400%. Isn't that awesome? And back then, we didn't have any seminaries. Today, we have 4 different seminaries. We have 50 students in Brazil that are going to our seminaries to become pastors of the church plants that we create because we believe in indigenous pastors. Isn't that awesome? I mean, and where is it going? Who knows? But that's what I'm passionate about. I want to spend as much time and energy and effort in that. I sit on the board. I do fundraisings. I, you know, go to Brazil every year. I work with these people. And it's great. And Kenya's now new to my list, so that's fun. But put that passion first and watch how it drives you. That's what will drive you. And that's where you're going to find ultimate fulfillment and happiness in your life, by following that passion. So number 3 on 7 mindsets, we are connected. And this is huge in every aspect. Remember the connector video in Manatech that we've used and we still have part of our programs? It's great. We are all connected. And everyone who comes in our life is a piece of that puzzle. So we look for people. Every time I have somebody in my life, I look, how do they fit into my life? What is it that I'm going to... That's why I keep massive numbers of cards and I keep people on my list. And I'm not sure it's around Manatech. It could be around 101 other different things that they're going to help me support the fulfillment in my life and help them fulfill their lives, lead a fulfilling life, right? So we're all connected. And, you know, trust is critical in our lives, and we want to grow this character trait. It's something that we've consistently put time and energy around, making sure and we establish habits and behavioral patterns that allow people to trust us. We value that. I mean, it's perhaps one of those highest values I have on my list is that trust factor. It's number 2 in my life in terms of values. Number 1 is contribution. Number 2 is trust, because I found that without trust, I can't have relationships with people. It's very hard to have a relationship with somebody you don't trust. So, and the win-win exemplifies this. You know, we talked about the win-win strategy earlier in the 7 habits and the win-win, and it's really important that we think win-win, because that we find the greatness in all of our connections. When we always think about win-win, how is this relationship going to be a win-win? Synergy is about discovering our differences and creating maximum results through connecting with people. All of these are like principles. We're all connected. Number 4 in terms of 7 mindsets is 100% accountable. And this is accepting ownership of our results. We don't point fingers at other people. We look at what we create, and you know what? We created it. Next, Learn from it, move on. If it's not a positive experience, learn from it. Make it and turn it into a positive experience. The blame shame game is choosing to fail. It's just choosing to fail. So today, just look at yourself today. Here's a great exercise. Who do you have brokenness in a relationship with? Unresolved issue, what relationships? Whether it's friend or family or even somebody that doesn't even know that you hold a grudge or you have something that you're bearing. Make a list of three of those, and before the year is out, resolve them. Before the year is out. It could be somebody who's dead. Maybe it's a parent that you have an unresolved relationship. Accept ownership around it. Resolve it. Because it's a burden. It's a rock in your knapsack. It's bearing you down. It's causing too much weight, too much pain, too much agony. And some of you go, Mary Jo, I can't resolve it. I say, yes, you can. And you go, well, what if they won't accept my apology or they won't apologize to me because they're wrong? Or they, I said, so write them a letter and tell them you forgive them. You want to move forward. This is you care for them, you want to make sure that they have the best possible life as well as yourself, and you want nothing more to do with any, you know, issue that exists between the two of you. And send them a letter. You resolve it for yourself by you taking the action to resolve it. Not making them wrong, step into responsibility, be 100% accountable. Even if you go, oh, I'm not wrong, they wronged me. It doesn't matter. It's not about being right. You can live your whole life fighting to be right and have no relationships of meaning because you need to be right. Really? This is a cost-benefit issue here. So choose to get out of victim and choose to be in responsible and resolve those unresolved relationships. It'll move you forward like nothing else. If you carry baggage into the new year, guess what your new year is going to look like? A bunch of baggage. Don't do that. Don't carry burdens with you. So really look at that. Where do I have baggage? Where do I have unresolved relationships? Where do I have hurt? Where do I have feelings that are unresolved with people in my life? And resolve them. I can tell you I have none. I have none. I come from solution, resolution, first and foremost, must be done. Move on next. It's got to be done. I'm accountable for me, and I'm accountable for what happens in my life. It's not pointing fingers. Come from resolution. Okay? So huge. So get yourself right, because the prices you pay are going to be too great. All for the case because you want to be right. It's usually what drives people to hold grudges and be in this, somebody else is to blame, and I'm a victim to that. Oh, come on. Out of it. Get out of it. Attitude of gratitude, number five. Oh, by the way, number four, 100% accountable, that's the responsible decision. When we get on to seven decisions by Andy Andrews, that's what it is. The responsible decision is directly in alignment with 100% accountable. Same concepts, identical. Attitude of gratitude. We have tons of thoughts that go through our mind every day, and about 95% of those are negative. Now, that's not true about everybody, but average America, because the thoughts just come in. Because we tend to be worriers. We don't tend to focus on good thoughts. We tend to focus on things we have to resolve. So we tend to be worriers. So the idea is, like, how do I reprogram my thoughts? Well, you need to reprogram. You need to replace the negative thoughts with positive thoughts. So start looking at things. Choose to be grateful for everything that happens in your life instead of being negative. I call it the Romans 8:28 approach to life, right? Always look for the good things out of everything that happens and focus on those, because there's always good things. If we look hard enough, we'll find them. We can find them if we look hard. So choose. We learn from challenges, right? Because when things challenge us, that's when we grow, or we fail miserably because we stay the way we are. But challenges are great in our life. It's probably one of the reasons I like conflict. People hate conflict. I thrive on conflict because it gives me an opportunity to step in and come from solution. And that's fun. That's a blessing to me. I love to resolve. I like to come to help people come to solutions. So conflict is a joy. When there's a conflict sometimes at my church or with people, they go, oh, Mary Jo, this is perfect for you. You know, and they just love to drag me into it, right? But it's great because I love solution. But we want to come from solution in our life. We want to have this heart of gratitude. We want to be grateful for everything that happens, celebrate our victories, right? And allow us to be joyful. And that's why the joyful decision from Andy Andrews is identical to this one. It's an attitude of gratitude, because at the heart and core of being joyful is coming from a heart of gratitude, that underlying heart of gratefulness. What are we grateful for? I'm grateful for Manatech. I'm grateful for the officers. I'm grateful for the incredible products. I'm grateful for their compensation plan. I'm grateful for their attentiveness to the field, that they really listen to us. I'm grateful to be a part of this breakthrough technology. I'm grateful to be able to work from home and have a home-based business. I'm grateful that I have phenomenal people in my organization that are just incredible human beings that love to serve other people. I'm grateful. I can go on and on and on and on and on. I could spend a whole, maybe that's what you need to do, get out a piece of paper and pad and just start writing, what are you grateful for? And don't finish until that pad is totally gone. And I hope you get a 100-page pad when you're working on this. It's amazing how many things we can be grateful for that we just don't even, we take for granted. We live in a house for 10 years and we take for granted that we even have the house. We have our own car. We bought a new car, and after the first 3 months, the new car wears off, and now we're not grateful anymore. Why? There are people out there that can't even afford to buy a car. Be grateful you even have one. Be grateful. So live to give. Number 6, live to give. Giving should always be viewed as an opportunity to lead a more fulfilling life. Seek ways to serve. Always have that servant's heart. Come from servant's heart. It's beautiful in this industry. You know, it's about edifying people. It's about serving others, upline, downline, company, industry. This comes out of the compassionate decision, live to give. And when we show compassion for people, what are we doing? We're giving. We're coming from servant's heart. So be compassionate with people. Heartfelt desire to serve them. Compassionate. Make that compassionate. Live to give. Every day in this industry, that's another thing beautiful about Manatech and network marketing. The more you give, the more you get, right? That's why I love to empty my cup, because Scripture tells me the more I give, the more I get. The more I empty my cup, the more the Lord fills it up. So if I keep outflowing the money that He gives me, He keeps filling my cup. I never have a doubt. He will keep me full. And that's not, it's full of happiness, full of joy, full of the fruits. That's all my direction. So live to give. Be a servant's heart. See which ways you can give. You've got a few more days till the end of the year. People are less fortunate. How can you give to those? Whether it's the Lottie Moon Foundation, or you give to people at your church, or you give to people in the homeless shelter, or you go serve, do some community service activities between now and the end of the year. Whatever. What does that look like for you? We live to give. Find ways to give. Be incorporated into your life as part of everyday living, and it will bless you tenfold. Amazing. And number 7, the time is now. Don't procrastinate another moment. Time is our only limited asset, absolutely. There are always going to be roadblocks for us, but the neat thing is we never have to be perfect, right? And I love that. Remember Tony Jerry's concept, PBP, for those of you who read Strategic Acceleration, which is a great book. If you haven't read it, I tell you to tackle that one. PBP says production before perfection. Too many of you sit back, especially in the analyst quadrant, or cautious quadrant in the DISC analysis. You want to make, everything's got to be perfectly aligned before you take action. That's horrible. You're dead in the water. You're not taking action. So time is now. Then the 7 decisions by Andy Andrews. I got to be quick here. Do we have 11 o'clock call, Lynn?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, okay. I've got an 11 o'clock call, so I've got to go quick through this. 7 decisions by Andy Andrews. The responsible decision. Victim is not an option. We already talked about victim responsible, and you notice how it's identical with what we talked about in the other book. The guided decision, I seek wisdom, counsel with others, attend events. That means I'm always sharpening the saw. Again, same thing. I'm looking for counsel, looking for wisdom. It's not about me. It's about other people helping train me, teach me. I can always learn. Active decision, what is that all about? It's staying in action. It's not about procrastinating, putting things off. It's about being proactive. Same thing, concept we saw under 7 habits. Take action today. So yeah, time is now. Don't procrastinate. That's as we saw in the 7 mindsets. The time is now. All the same concept there, people. Certain decisions, have a decided heart. You need to know your why to be certain in your actions. So make sure you find your passion to help move you forward. No room to be tentative. The joyful decision, we talked about this too, Happiness Advantage with Sean Aker. The world belongs to the enthusiastic, for people will follow them everywhere. So where's your enthusiasm? And we have to understand the law of attraction. We're going to attract people like us. So choose joyful. Make joyful decisions. Choose happiness. Right? Stay out of drama. Choose happiness. Compassionate decision, that's about servant's heart, serve people, the power of a spoken word. Get away from drama. Get really used to the word next. Move on. Make a bad decision. Learn from it. NEXT is your next word, and you're off to the races running. Don't let your past control your future, okay? And persistent decision, never give up. Giving up is never an option. Don't compare yourself to others. Compare yourself to your own potential. You have unlimited potential. All you need to do is choose it. Choose it. Choose it. Believe in it. Work on that. Work on your belief structure, and then build your life in 2015. It's yours to be done. It's just a choice. We just need to do it, right? All these things relate to each other. Three different approaches. We have seven habits. We have seven mindsets. We have seven decisions. But guess what? They all kind of intermix. Learn from them. Grow from this experience today. Take on some of these concepts. Which ones really hit you strongly? Work on those first. Take them on one at a time, right? So choose life. If you choose to fulfill your personal destiny, these guidelines are impeccable for you. They're going to serve you in so many ways to make all those goals you set come true, as well as next year's and the year after and forever more. So determine, what am I going to work on to be this 7x7x7 person this year? Okay, everybody? Great. Hope you enjoyed it. Dig into the notes. Look at yourself, see which way is best for you to take. What are you going to take on first? Where are you missing some things? All of these are great concepts that will serve you in a million ways, but you've got to choose them. All right, love you guys. Have a happy, happy new year, and keep your eyes open for us in the coming 2015. We love you all.